very wet and muddy, but it was enjoyable, but there were some really steep hills.
Kia ora koutou. That was Spike Haveisen in the Wu2K. I'm Matt Raymond.
And I'm Eugene Bingham.
This is Dirt Church Radio. Interesting conversations with interesting runners.
I would just like to say that Ultraspire have been with us. Grant Guys has been with us for 150 episodes.
He's like a good, reliable pack, isn't he?
He's like a good, like a zygos.
Just sits there, comfortable, does the job.
Yeah.
Just, you love it.
Absolutely.
You love it.
Thank you to Ultraspire.
Just stays and stays and stays.
Yeah, just stays and stays and stays. Ultraspire have been with us since the beginning. This is our 150th show, 3 years. We would implore you to check out ultraspire.co.nz and their wares like the Zygos 4. I mean, I've even gone back to the old semi-tumescent bottles. Mm. So not the full squidge.
No.
But the old
you've
school.
You've avoided the little ones with the straw that sticks up.
The eye gouger.
Yeah, you've gone for the, but old school.
But ultraspire.co.nz.
Well, middle school.
Middle school. Ultraspire.co.nz. Sticking with us since day one, and we couldn't be more happy that they are a sponsor of Dirt Church Radio.
Well, thanks.
I got my stuff.
Now, yeah, look, I was going to, when we were talking about bottles, you know, you got a flash new Wild Things bottle there. How are you finding it?
Well, it got taken.
Is it that popular?
It got taken from me.
Is it that popular?
It got taken from me at Riverhead Rampage.
Wow.
Someone had a bit of an oopsie.
Mm.
And, you know, being the good nurse that I am, I gave them some electrolytes in my bottle. And
you're not in the nice new squeezy Wild Things bottle.
With my VIP discount. And, you know, like Sting says, if you love something, set them free.
Set them free?
Set them free, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's gone. So easy come, easy go. Anyway.
But luckily, because you've got the VIP discount, because, you know, if you jump on to wildthings.club and sign up as a VIP member and use the code DCR2021, you can use that VIP membership to then get another bottle.
I think I will.
Maybe get two next time.
But I've got my T8 undies, which are just fantastic.
You didn't lend anyone those?
No one would want those. No
just
one
would. Sort of whip them off at the finish line. Do you want these?
I Velcroed them up so I can just sort of do a Joe Bluth and off they come. Anyway, sorry. What's the audio equivalent of hysterical blindness? I'm not sure. Anyway, but go to wildthings.club to forget about that terrible mental image.
Mm. Use the code DCR2021.
Mm. Another one who's been there, not from the beginning, but
very nearly.
Nearly the beginning, Further Faster. So furtherfaster.co.nz, Aotearoa's premier expert outdoors store, Rocky Badger, Jules, Jacob and the crew, fantastic.
Mm. Jacob's calves have been there.
Yep, they've been etched
almost
into my memory from the jump. Mm. And I mean that with all sincerity, the man's a legend. But look, furtherfaster.co.nz, fantastic gear, Montane, good kit, good seam seal jackets, warm and as flash as you like.
Lovely.
Yeah, good jingle too.
Great jingle.
It goes something like further, faster, there in Christchurch. Rocky is hairy and so is Badger. Jules is nice and Jacob is delicious. Go further, faster now.
Oh, further, faster, there in Christchurch. Rocky is hairy and so is Badger. Jules is nice and Jacob is delicious. Go further, faster now.
Church Radio.
Episode 152.
Yeah, we made it.
Just kind of.
Just.
Have a listen to this. So that was Wellington's Wind, which, you know, is just one of the features of this weekend.
Oh, gosh. Alongside, you know, torrential sideways rain.
Heap of good people.
Yeah, heap of good people.
Yeah.
Some amazing times, but my goodness me, the weather certainly turned up to knock everyone around at the Wu2K 2021. My goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we are recording from the Bridges Hotel in Wellington the morning after a, probably one of the toughest runs either of us have done.
Yeah, certainly one of, I mean, weather-wise by an order of magnitude, the toughest run that I have ever done.
And yeah.
I couldn't. Yeah.
I was thinking back. I remember a run that I did up at Farewell Spit or around there where the wind was just bananas. Could hardly stand on my feet. But that was just a run. But in terms of races, I think the wildest conditions I've raced in over 30 years for the Wu2K. So, yeah, we came down hoping for the weather we had last time we were here in 2019, but it didn't quite work out that way. What a tribute to Gareth Thomas and his team, all the volunteers and marshals and everyone who got out there, right?
Oh, I can't. There was one point where I don't know where it was. It was before Tip Track. It was on the trail before Tip Track, and we came round a corner, and there were two marshals there in full wetsuits, snorkels, and diving masks, and standing in the.
They were cool.
In the teeth of a gale, it was. Gosh, yep. Talk about, you know, wind crack and slap thy cheeks. It was pretty full on.
Yeah, yeah. So this year the race was shortened because of just basically a massive storm that's really hit the middle of the country. And we, you know, we want to say far more importantly than any run, we know that lots of people's homes and livelihoods have been affected by the storm this weekend. And we hope everyone is safe.
Yes.
Yeah. That's the most important thing. You know, at the end of the day, that's far more important than some geese getting out for a run.
100%. And I mean, the Wu2K did end up being shortened. But I think it's added to the legend. You know, and it's added to the kind of the cult-like status of this race. And it's something that, you know, when we, you know, you hear our conversation with Gareth, it's something that he talks about.
It's kind of, I mean, it's such a remarkable thing to have been able to put together a run that you're, Even yesterday when visibility wasn't the best and also your eyes were stinging from the wind, so you couldn't, and the sideways rain, but you couldn't really spend much time looking down. But to think that you can run in the hills of the capital city on trail, amazing trails, and look down into the town, into the city, and then run through people's backyards almost, don't you?
Yeah.
It's got everything, this race, and like you said, it's just added to the legend, really. I am a bit worried.
That we're jinxed.
Yeah, because I'm just going to list the last three races that we've entered together.
Okay.
Kepler 2019.
Yeah, alternate course.
Kepler 2020.
Alternate course.
Wu2K 2021.
21K course, yeah.
Yeah. I think we better not tell any race organisers.
There might be something in that, yeah.
Or else we're just going to have to race separately.
That's right.
So we're going to bring you coverage of the race, some interviews we recorded, although it must be said weather kind of curtailed our plans in that regard. You know, we'd sort of had these ideas that we could hang around in the sun and chat to people at the finish line. Didn't quite work out that way.
Huddled under a polar fleece blanket by the public toilets on Mount Vic.
We've also got a breakdown of Hard Rock as well, which was on this weekend. But first of all, a bit of an update, I suppose you'd call it.
Yeah, I mean, how good was it to catch up with, I mean, Stephen Redfern was a legend.
Aussie legend.
It was such a great conversation. For those who noticed sound issues, I apologise. That was my fault entirely. No, we've had comment.
From one person.
We've had comment about the sound quality, and I did record the wrong track on my end. But,
hey,
Andrew, you're still losing to Stephen, so just take it out on someone else.
So in that regard, we did hear from Andrew McDowell, who was the butt of a bit of trash talk during the interview and has this ongoing duel with Stephen. So you remember that they're keeping score of their races and that Stephen is up 5-2. Let me say that again, 5-2. And he couldn't remember. He could remember Andrew's first victory, but he couldn't remember the second. So we got an all caps reply from Andrew, didn't we?
Yeah, so imagine this all caps. Lovely show, chaps, but I can't believe you forgot that time I absolutely wiped the floor with you at Tuttaweta, Stephen. But no, bro, it's cool. You just brag away. La la, four trails, blah blah, three sunrises, yada yada yada. Just a quick FYI, when I beat you at Tour de Jance, it's worth 4 points. Okay, cool. Shots fired. But anyway, what did you were talking to Stephen?
Yeah. So I was chatting to him afterwards, and he was saying, or he messaged me afterwards, after the show was out, saying, "Oh, I forgot to mention, because you know,
as you do."
I've got a 2022 entry for the Sri Shimnoi Self-Transcendence 3,100-mile race in New York.
Now that race is run around one city block. Oh,
yeah, one city block, 3,100 miles, and it's pretty hard to get into. And he's been working with Sri Shimnoi in Australia for 6 years, but he's got himself an entry for 2022. So I said, you are coming back on the show to talk about that when we've done it.
And it'd be incredible, like, if you've done, you know, 4,960 kilometres around one block, but considering he ran 360 kilometres around his garage, I mean, yeah.
Hey, yeah. It's all relative, isn't it? Yeah. Anyway, I'm glad that we could clear that up for you, Andrew. You could get that off your chest. Yep. Hopefully, you know, you feel better. Look, don't forget, we've got the free entry to Creator Room to give away.
Yeah, absolutely. That's going off, isn't
it's
it?
It's gone bananas.
People are going after it. So, yeah, we've got a draw.
Yeah.
So go to our Facebook and Instagram pages and you'll find a post about this. Comment underneath. And if you're on Facebook, give us a like and we'll draw out a winner in 2 weeks.
Well, this week.
Yeah, next week.
Next week. We're gonna draw it on the show that will come out on, I can't remember what the date is, but
28th.
The next show we'll announce a winner. So find that post. So it's for an entry for you can choose the 53, the 30, the 22, the 10, or the 83 kilometer distances at Crater Rim.
Yep.
You know, you can soak in those spectacular views over Littleton Harbour, Lake Ellesmere, Christchurch City. You can, if you do the 53k race, you get an early morning ferry trip across Littleton Harbour to start at Diamond Harbour. Ferry might have come in handy yesterday, actually, in some of the parts of the course.
I wouldn't have liked to have been on a ferry.
No, that's true.
In Wellington yesterday. Yes. that would have been...
The 83K race doubles as the New Zealand Trail Running Champs. So, get amongst it. All right. Hey, Patreon patrons.
Oh, yeah, Patreon patrons. We're always thankful to the Patreon patrons.
Case in point, I've just pulled it out of the bag.
Oh, our dead cat.
Our little wind sock came in very handy yesterday. A piece of equipment that is thanks to our Patreon patrons.
Funny looking little thing. Almost if you could imagine...
a wig?
Yeah, but Don King. Promoter Don King.
Yep.
It's like someone scalped Don King.
Yep. Yep.
And now we use it on top of our microphone. So that's
we
what
didn't.
It looks like.
Nobody did, but no. But that's what it looks like. So that's just one little bit of. When it got back last, it got wet.
I saw you drawing out I had to
get the blow dryer out because the dead cat was wet.
I've just taken a photo and we'll bang that up on the Instagram so you can see.
But that's down to the Patreon patron. So that's an example of the kit that we can buy just to make that sound a little bit better and make the show a bit better. Just a little donation. If you set up a regular donation, even just a cup of coffee, it helps us do those sorts of things, and do things like pay for the website and that sort of stuff. But we really appreciate it, and we're very grateful to our Patreon patrons. If it's not your thing, that's cool. No worries at all. We're still here.
And you can find us at patreon.com/dirtchurchradio.
You can. Right. Stuff you should know.
I know people give Grant guys a lot of crap about being like the fifth fastest whatever from Christchurch or whatever, but he's done Hard Rock twice. He placed top 10 once, and I think he was 11th the second time or something like that. So he's done it twice, and it was when we saw him at World 2K on Friday. Mm. He had his Hard Rock t-shirt on because it was Hard Rock weekend. And I mean, talk about a race that knows about cancellations and disruptions.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, it was the first running of the Hard Rock since 2018.
Yeah.
2019's race was cancelled due to snow, and 2020's was cancelled because of the global pandemic. Mm. But, you know, the Hard Rock 100-mile endurance run is built, a lot of people, apart from something like Barclays, is the toughest sort of conventional 100-mile in the world.
Yeah, so 105-point miles in length, 33,000 feet, so what's that, over 10,000 metres of climb, at an average elevation of 11,000 feet. So that's 3,000 metres up. Yeah. So altitude's going to get you, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's held on a loop course on four-wheel drive roads, dirt trails and cross-country in Colorado's San Juan Range. And I think when it started in 1992, I want to say, people were like, what? You can't have this race. It's too hard.
It's too hard.
but it's just become a legendary race. So, you know, and this year's race was just befitting of it.
Absolutely. And keeping it, I think what adds to the mystique as well is keeping it, and I think about races like W2K, I think about Kepler. I think about all the other kind of low-key races out there. You know, it's not your big sort of UTMB, you know, shenanigan fiasco. It's not like the, you know, Cote d'Ivoire of the of the ultramarathon world. It is, you know, Silverton. It's a dirt road town.
Yeah.
High up in the mountains.
Yeah, well, didn't they start it because the town's
yeah.
industry had basically collapsed?
Well, yeah.
And they absolutely. Were looking for sort of tourism opportunities.
Same with Leadville as well. Same thing.
You know, so it was just, yeah, first year was 1992. Yeah, it was a way to try and get some people to come to the town. And boy, do they what. So, yeah, this year's race really lived up to things. So both the men's and women's were you know,
mind-blowing is the word.
Yeah, yeah. So in the women's, Courtney Dewalter, you know, what can you say about Courtney? But she was out on record pace and looking super strong, excuse me, before she ended up having to pull out with stomach issues, which she just couldn't get on top of. Sabrina Stanley took over. She'd actually passed Katrina, Courtney before Courtney withdrew, and basically Sabrina was in charge from there, and she was suffering stomach issues herself and was vomiting at aid stations and so on, but she just persevered.
Yeah.
Tough.
Incredible. And remember she had that great battle with Megan Hicks last year on the No-Man's 14ers. I mean, it's just incredible. And it's the most epic version of like the Strava local legend you could ever...
Yeah,
you could ever think
notification.
Of.
Ding, ding.
Yeah,
you've lost that.
So yeah. Sabrina, who runs for Adidas Terex, she won the 21 Hard Rock 100 in 27 hours 21:49. That's the second fastest time in race history, and just 3 minutes and 31 seconds back from Diana Finkel's record, and she was sixth overall.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, it's the race is, you know, pulling back the curtain. The race is still underway as we're recording this. But Megan, by the way, looks like she's going to take out third.
Fantastic.
Okay, it's Eugene from the future here, kind of, you know what I mean. I just want to say that, of course, Megan Hicks did claim third with a time of 33:05:02, and in second was the Hard Rock legend Darcy Pecue, 32:08:26. Darcy has finished first or second in all eight of her Hard Rock starts. Just a quick note too, that if you don't already, you should follow I Run Far's coverage of these big races if you're into that sort of thing. Megan and Brian Powell are so dedicated to the cause that she was back at work the next day. Sheesh. Anyway, back to the past or the present or whatever. Here you go.
In the men's race, it was Francois Dehaene who, I mean, he's just been such a fixture for such a long
time. Yeah, he had that remarkable UTMB. You know, he's performed at UTMB, you know, smashed it at UTMB and been there and thereabouts and you know, what an ox.
Yeah.
So he had an incredible run. He just was out there all day leading from the front or in control all day and ended up smashing Kilian Jornet's record.
Yeah.
So he won in 21:45, which broke both the counterclockwise record of Kilian's 23:28 and the overall course record of 22:41 of Kilian's from 2014.
And behind Francois, Dylan Bowman
hung
tough all day and was really pushing hard, but he ended up finishing exactly an hour behind Francois in 22:45:50. And that's also under the old counterclockwise course record, which again was Kilian Jornet in 2015. Ryan Smith, who runs for La Sportiva, he took third in 23:23:56, also under the old counterclockwise.
I mean, it's like these runners have been hibernating for a year and they've just like, we're going to throw it down.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, a special update for, you know, those of us who are in, you know, in our fourth decade, or is it fifth decade? Fourth. In our 40s.
Yeah.
Jeff Browning, 49 years old, dropped out of Western States, second ever DNF, took fifth at the Hard Rock, 26:58:17, officially becomes a Hard Rock veteran.
Yeah.
He was one of our first guests on Dirt Church Radio. Yeah. We've had him on a couple of times, actually, but episode 10 was our proper interview. So if you want to go way back in the archives, you'll see that we spoke to him, and what a guy he is.
Yeah. Bronco Billy. Rightio. So let's get into W2K.
Where to begin?
Yeah. I mean, it was, look, we got down here, well, Thursday for me, Wednesday for you.
Yep.
And like, even before we got here, really, it was like, everyone was looking at the forecast going, uh-oh. You knew that weather was going to be a factor. You made sure that you had not only brought down your compulsory gear, but some extra stuff because it looked like it was going to be wild. Look, just for a bit of background for those of you who don't know, Wu2K, you ran the first iteration of
it. I did. I ran the first. I ran the marathon. So it was back then. It was a 43 and a 62 kilometer race, and set up by Gareth Thomas, who, you know, Wellington local, keen runner, and just basically had been putting these routes together and wanted to see how it was, you know. And the first time, you know, anyone ran it, we all went, wow, that was really something special. And every year it's been run in superb weather. In fact, it almost feels reversed because as we're looking out the windows in your room, Eugene, you know, it's a bit sunny. Yeah. There's still a bit of wind around, but it's certainly buttoned off from how it was.
Yeah.
But I mean, gosh, you know.
Yeah, Gareth sort of had the golden touch with the weather, didn't he?
He really has.
2019, when we ran it, you know, it was superb on the day. I don't even know if I had a thermal on.
No, we didn't. We ran in t-shirt.
And July, you know, in the middle of winter. And then the Sunday, it was heckers. It was so crazy. Flights cancelled, et cetera, et cetera. But this year we kind of all knew, okay, weather's going to be a factor. Let's see. But everyone still, we turned up to registration on Friday. Everyone had their fingers crossed. And we caught up with Gareth Thomas, race director, and the volunteer manager, and all round good sort, Kate Shafe.
Ditchitch Radio.
Hi, Eugene.
Hi, Matt.
We're here at the Caketon, Wellington, Westpac Stadium.
It's called Sky Stadium. Oh, yeah.
The stadium in Wellington.
But we're sheltered from the wind.
Yep.
We're ready the day before we're 2K.
We're just about to walk in, get our bags checked, get our compulsory gear.
Yep.
Catch up with Gareth.
Yes.
Thomas, the race director.
I see there's a whistle in the compulsory gear.
Oh yeah.
I was thinking, is anyone going to hear a whistle?
Have you seen that your pack has a whistle?
That's what I use. But it was like, man, it's going to have to be some loud whistle to get through that one. Anyway, how are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm feeling. I felt excited for the first time today, so that's good. That's a good thing. I've been worried. I've been silly, and you know, but. Yeah, no, I felt good for the first time today, and here we are, and basically, it's going to be good. Lola said to me, she goes, my daughter, she walked up to me, she goes, you know, when you're in this element, you can't pick you out of a lineup, Dad, these are your people, and I'm excited to be back amongst my people. So.
Yeah, and it's you know, we both went for little shakeout runs this morning and into the elements, and you know, getting blown around by the wind. It's quite exciting. I was giggling. I'm really looking forward to it. Looking forward to the adventure. I'm looking forward to getting in and registering and seeing people and seeing who we can see and getting that vibe in that race vibe.
Absolutely. I can't wait. I am legitimately excited. And you know, tomorrow's going to be a challenge with the weather, hopefully.
Yeah.
But it is what it is, and we'll be able to, you know, take in the course, and it'll add such a different quality to it, I think.
Yep, Facebook's going nuts with people going, what should I do? I need a seam seal jacket? Yeah,
that's right. What is a seam seal jacket?
What is the B course?
Do I need a hood?
Yep. Can I have a pacer in the 21?
Yeah.
But
was that a real one?
No, that wasn't. I made that one up. That's fake news. Hashtag fake news. But you know, it's just going to be good to just get it started, get on with it, and get to the reality of the
Absolutely.
Racer.
Absolutely.
All right, let's go register.
Absolutely. Let's go. Yep. We're huddled somewhere in a dressing room at the Caketon Wellington Stadium.
We're in Hurricanes territory.
Yeah, we're in the Hurricanes dressing room.
You better believe it.
With Gareth Thomas, Wu2K race director. How are you going, man?
Yeah, well, at the stage, you know, just before race day, and the weather's looking pretty hairy at the moment. And I'm pretty knackered, to tell you the truth. Just looking forward to getting through this day and moving on to race day.
It must be emotionally draining, because I'm sure that I saw your message on Facebook, which is it was a really beautifully put one, but I'm sure every man and their dog has been messaging you, getting at you about the weather.
Yeah, there's been quite a few people who have sort of, some have pulled out and said, nah, bugger that, go run your race and enjoy it. And I'm not partaking this year just due to the weather. So, I mean, it's going to happen. You know, it's supposed to be, you know, gale force winds overnight. And, you know, we have had that in the past, though. It's been, crappy weather the night before, right up until like 5 a.m, and then it clears up just that little bit to, you know, ease runners into it, and then opens up in the day. So hopefully it's like that tomorrow, but we'll just have to wait and see.
Well, to be honest, we've called it Gareth's golden touch with the weather, really, in recent years. So, I mean, there's always going to be one year, isn't there? So who knows?
There is. And you can always lose your golden touch as well, you know.
It's been a time, though, hasn't it? I mean, this is, circle back, I mean, every you know, we've just had Western States, who got Hard Rock coming on. You know, you had to cancel last year for COVID. What was that like?
Yeah, that was hard, actually. It was really hard because we cancelled quite a few months out from the race day due to the fact that it was, you know, so uncertain and new, and no one knew what was going on. Potentially, if it was like, you know, this year now and they knew how to get on top of it a bit better and quicker, we probably wouldn't have cancelled. But just because it was uncertain and it sort of, lockdown went on for quite a few, it was a couple of months, right? It was quite a while. And it was quite hard to gauge, and plus the pre-planning that goes into these events is quite huge. Yep. And you've got to get things booked in and locked in and paid for and things like that. So it's quite tricky to gauge. So we did make the right choice. But saying that, when race day came about, it was actually quite a nice day and lockdown had just finished. So it was kind of a bummer. But saying that, a lot of people went out and still ran the course and then went to the pubs afterwards that we support also.
And that's the thing, isn't it? People say if you're a participant, you go, oh, this could have happened. But if you're a race director, you've got X, Y, Z behind the scenes. You know, you've got toilets, you've got things more mundane than toilets, you've got everything to kind of get in, and it's cut, and you're taking the hit.
Yeah, all those things. As you well know, with organising your own events, it's a lot to organise, and it takes up time and money and effort and resources. And it's, you know, if it's not looking that certain, then it's really hard just to say, it's kind of unfair to the runners as well to say, yes, let's go ahead, and then just, you know, it's going to get cancelled anyway. So yeah, it was tough last year.
What's the field looking like this year? People pumped?
They are, actually, yeah. I mean, it's kind of funny. You throw a bit of a heavy wind into the equation, and a lot of runners sort of take that as a more of a challenge and go, yeah, let's go and do this thing. So saying that, I've still got to make a call this afternoon about the run. Not cancelling, just adapting slightly, just due to the sort of hairy parts of the skyline, which are at the start, really. I think the wind will die down during the day, but just that part, we've got some extra first aid and stuff up there for the morning, just in case. That sort of answered your question. I sort of lost the question.
Oh, I mean, it's also the field, you know, specifically the sharp end, you know, people turning up, the people still like ready to go after it.
Yes. I mean, there's 900 in the pack this year. There's, you know, the new 21K course. It's, you know, looking pretty good as well. That's actually the most. There's almost 300 in that, which is great. And the rest of the field's just, you know, looking really keen to come and do the job, get it done.
It's it's that feel. It's the day before Christmas, isn't it?
Pretty much, yeah. Well, it's 6 months building up. You know, it's a lot of work and a lot of admin. I do all the admin side myself with the runners, so it's a lot. But it's kind of nice having that sort of personal touch and sort of, you know, seeing what people have gone through. There's been so many different circumstances over the year, so many changes. So it's kind of like an emotional roller coaster ride in itself, you know, dealing with the runners sort of on an email basis, but still you get to understand what goes on and give it that personal touch as well.
And I mean, not to put too fine a point on it, you've had some personal challenges this year, you know, which I'm sure that alongside everything else you weren't anticipating.
Yeah, well, yeah, I got diagnosed with, you know, skin cancer on my face at the end of last year and had surgery a couple of weeks after that. And then they missed some of it, so it was like a millimeter left. So I had to get radiation for like 6 weeks, which was pretty intense. And all this trying to organize the race as well. So radiation only finished about 6-7 weeks ago. So they say it can take 3 months to sort of get through your body. And so I'm still, you know, still going through it and still not 100%, but it's added to the challenge.
It's what a way to look at it. So, I mean, I don't know if there's much more to say. I mean, the dude's getting after it.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say, you know, W2K has become, you know, such a Wellington institution, well, such a institution of the New Zealand Aotearoa trail running scene. You must be really proud of what you've created.
oh shit, yeah, hugely proud. You know, it's one of those things. You know, when you, I guess when you paint a painting or do something quite special that you think's okay, and you go, oh yeah, it's all right, and then later on it becomes like a Dali or something. You know, it's the start of the Wu2K was like that. It was a small kiddie's painting, or it was a small painting that was quite delicately done, but it grew over time and it's become this you know, Mona Lisa type event. You know, it's really good, and the people that come love it, they support it, the volunteers love it and support it, and it's just really nice to have that sort of that feeling of creating something special that people get involved with. And I've just had that sort of, you know, that drive to get it going and to where it is. So yeah, and plus all the support and plus all the core crew and everyone that makes it really special, you know.
I having turned up the first year you ran the event, I don't think it was a kid's painting, man. I remember everyone on the course was just looking at it. We were running, just going, what? This is so good. You know, like, it was straight out the box.
Well, kid's painting. Maybe, like, you know, it was, it took a while to create it and get it down and nailed, but that was sort of the initial, you know, getting people on the course and running it and giving the feedback, and that's sort of where it grew, you know.
And I just love the fact, too, that it's ingrained in the city. You know, you run those trails any time of the year. I love when I'm down in Wellington and go for a run in the trails and spot the Wu2K signs. It's just, it just makes it extra special.
Hmm.
Yeah, well, that's true. You know, some of those signs actually need to be replaced. I think we should upgrade this. It's been, well, it's year six of the run, apart from last year. So it's, at the time, we should flash them up a bit more, but that's for another time, another occasion.
Just to be clear, I'm not talking about leftover fluoro tape. I'm talking about proper markers. And it just reminds you how much of a part of the scene your race has become. And that's a really special thing.
Yeah, well, that's it. You know, that's what makes me proud as well. You know, it's just really nice to have that cemented on the map as well, and runners know about the event. And it's really, you know, it's brought the trails along as well. You know, they've got a lot more recognition, and you know, not just in the mountain biking scene, but the trail running scene as well, and the walkers and the trampers and all that.
I got out the door this morning for a little shakeout run, and staying in a place real hilly, and I got blown up the hill by the wind, and I was like, oh my god, this is so good. And that's how I felt when I got it. Do you know, like, I've been sitting inside looking at the window going, I don't know if I'm into this or not, but the second I stepped outside the door, I felt so exhilarating. I was laughing my head off. I can't wait. So yeah, thanks for having us, man. And it's so good to be down here again.
Yeah, well, thanks for coming along again. You know, it's always good having you guys back, and it's nice that you know, when you put a post up recently about, you know, post a photo of one of your favorite trail runs, and you posted the Wu2K finish line, and that was quite special as well. So yeah, thanks for appreciating.
Oh, awesome.
All the best.
You're asking me difficult questions about fun.
Hell yeah,
that's what I'm going to lead off with. I can't believe that, yeah, it's making the race about me, that I won't have to get to have your fudge at Tawa Tawa like you did last time.
I have passed on the recipe, so I have, you know, done my best to make sure that you're catered to, Matt, you know, because you are the most important person here, obviously.
One of 900 most important.
904.
Where with Kate Shave? Should probably start that off. Kate Shave, your role, you've taken a new role this year, and what is that role?
I have. So I've stepped into the volunteers manager's role, which Brent Robinson has been doing very capably for the last few years, but he just had a job change and didn't quite have the time to give to it that it needed this year. So asked me to step in. I was supposed to be his understudy, but as it is, now I'm head honcho for the volunteers. So we've got 150 volunteers spread out across all sorts of roles, marshals, aid stations, people doing registration, gear checks, you name it, we've got them doing it. So yeah, good fun.
And so what logistically, what does that involve? Like, how many hours a week have you been having to do this? What sort of things have you had to be doing?
I certainly haven't been tracking the hours, so I can't answer that question quite specifically. But I guess at the outset, it's about putting a call out for all the people that might be willing to volunteer. And then I created what I like to call the spreadsheet of awesome, which is many, many columns and many, many rows. And that is basically the way to sort of match everybody up, think about what they can do, when they're available, where they might want to be, do they have transport to get there, all of those kinds of things. And so we slot them in to all the various roles. And then it's about making sure that they have all the documentation that they need. We also ran briefings, three main briefing sessions last Sunday with the volunteers. So that was one with the course markers, one with all the rego finish line people and marshals, and one with aid stations. And then the last week has been many, many messages, phone calls, texts, you name it, you know, people grabbing me on the street and, you know, basically dealing with all the last minute changes. So people dropping out. So, for example, we've just got someone sent off for a COVID test. We've got someone else who's pregnant and has ended up in hospital and, you know, just dealing with all of those kind of last minute things. So, yeah.
It's such a lot, isn't it? It's such a, and that's the thing we were talking to Gareth before. The participants perhaps don't understand the amount of, especially for a, I remember my sense of panic on a 6.75k course that comes back around to the start, and also a 21k course, the second everyone leaves, and I just go, oh, they're all out there with my marshals, my volunteers. Yeah. Like it's a, for the amount of, you know, a 43, a 62, and a 21, it's a lot of marshals.
Yep.
It's a lot of people.
A lot of start line, you know, two different start lines to manage this year for the first time. Obviously everyone's all finishing in the same place, so that does simplify that a little bit. But yeah, having the three courses has meant that we've needed more marshals. No additional aid stations, that's kind of worked in as it was. But obviously they have to be prepared to cater for 900 plus runners, not sort of 500 to 600. So yeah, big step up in terms of numbers, but you know, Gareth has just his head over everything, you know. It's, yeah, there's no doubt that he knows what he's doing and has, you know, across all the various bits and pieces that need to happen.
And then you throw in the curveball of the weather. I was talking to one of your marshals who's going to be at Orfeto Bay, Mike White, mm-hmm. today. He was saying he's going to be there in his gumboots giving us a yell as we come past, and I said, well, I hope you've got garters for the top of your gumboots because I think they might be full of water. So you're having to deal with that as well, the curveball of weather. How has that changed things for you?
But Eugene, this is Wellington. We don't do days without weather in Wellington, right? So
but you have. This is the thing. For the last, you know, I remember the first Wu2K I ran, I was like, not even halfway through going, I need to take my thermal off. I'm too hot. Oh my, and I left it on because I couldn't be bothered stopping. But, you know, and the weather.
You enter a race in the middle of July anywhere in New Zealand. Yep. You can't complain about the weather. So I'm certainly not complaining about the weather. But from a volunteer logistics point of view, does that add any complexity?
Absolutely. I mean, for a start, it's about making sure that everyone's safe. So today we've got course markers out there in howling gales, some of them, you know, virtually being blown horizontal. So we need to make sure that they're safe and they're back off the course when they're, you know, supposed to be. So we have Stu Milne who manages that group very, very closely and carefully. And then tomorrow, yes, I've got, you know, to be thinking about all the marshals in particular who are out sort of sitting, you know, possibly for sort of 7 to 8 hours in one spot, having to stay there, really not being able to move, so making sure that they are warm and safe as well. Aid stations a little bit easier because they tend to have a bit of shelter and they can, you know, sort of dance around and do a little jig and keep themselves moving. But, yeah, keeping them safe on the day. At the moment, we're all just, you know, as planned for tomorrow. If the call comes this afternoon that there's a course change or, you know, we're getting some sort of alterations, then that will be another whole story and there'll be an awful lot of comms going out and phone calls being made, as you can imagine. Yeah.
You've got some pretty amazing volunteers. Well, all your volunteers are amazing. Pretty good Taylene Charlie for the 62, for instance.
Absolutely, yeah. We've got Ellie and Tucker coming all the way from Whanganui. And what has been super impressed, you know, has really impressed me is just the people that are coming from a long way away. So we've got someone, Megan Biggs, who's come across from Napier just to do 2 days of volunteering.
Wow.
Because she heard about the event, you know, everyone's talked it up, what an awesome time it is, and she just wanted to come and be a part of it. We've got people coming from Dunedin to volunteer, Auckland, and so on. So it just, you know, just blows me away the collective sort of good-heartedness of the trail running community that they, you know, are prepared to come and give their time in this kind of way.
It's incredible, isn't it? It blows me away. People just fall over themselves to that. Ellie Arntz, actually, I was laying in bed this morning looking at the weather, looking at the forecast, and a message comes up on my phone saying, don't worry about the forecast. It's just Do you know, like, it was like, I'm not sure if morphic resonance is real, right? But I was like, oh my Lord. She's like, just go out and enjoy the day.
Yeah, she's stalking you, Matt. Yeah.
I wouldn't go as far as saying stalking. I think she's just a good-hearted human. But, you know, this is a good-hearted human being. And it also put the fear of God into me that she's going to be...
That's right. She'll be there prodding.
Running,
you know,
scared.
Yep. And I like to think, well, you know, Tucker's probably got some, you know, sheep herding management skills in his background somewhere. Yeah. So he'll be keeping everyone moving along.
Yeah, yep. It'll be a bad day if that's happening. But it's a capable tail end.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And so, I mean, for you personally, you were magnificent at the Tawatawa aid station 2 years ago now.
Thank
I was
going to
say last year, but this year it's sort of. Do you feel like you're a little bit sort of removed, or in that sense, you're not sort of going to be, what am I trying to say? You know what I mean? It's a different role, isn't it?
It is. But if anything, I feel more involved. Yeah. And can I let you guys in on a secret?
Like, oh, please, please.
I think I actually prefer volunteering to running. don't let that get out. But, you know, I think it's just, it's such an amazing experience to be able to give back to the community that you've kind of been a part of. Yeah. And I'm so grateful to Gareth for the opportunity to do this. It really is, a magic sort of place to be in and see how it all works behind the scenes and, you know, have all these connections with people. For me, I'm actually injured at the moment, so I'm having back surgery in a couple of weeks' time. It's going to be an entire month's recovery, so I'm having a disc replaced in my upper back. So,
what is it with the W2K and people getting stuff either put in them or cut out of them?
Yeah, I don't know. We don't like things to stay the same. You know,
body mods. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm hoping this will be like Bionic Woman. I'll go heaps faster, but probably not. So at the moment, I can't run anyway. And for me, this is, you know, this helps keep the connection going and, yeah, fills my bucket up, really. Yeah. Overflows my bucket in a good way.
Well, you are one of those people who gives so much back to the community. Thank you so, so much.
Well, it's a pleasure. It is. And, you know, just hugely grateful for the 150 plus volunteers that I've got as part of the team this year. And I know they're going to make W2K an awesome experience.
One final question, or have you got another one? But I was going to say, does the spreadsheet of awesomeness... Spreadsheet of awesome. Does it compare to the last spreadsheet we saw you with?
Yeah, which I was thinking about that.
Which was when you were crewing for Fiona at the Fiona Havice at the Biggs.
And
Flyers
and relapse.
You had quite a formidable
spreadsheet
going there.
We
do like a good spreadsheet. I'll tell you what the key difference is. Fiona prints hers in really small font that I can barely read, and I print mine in really big font. So when I print it out, it's like, you know, an entire room's worth of paper. But, you know, it's the same idea. I mean, I guess for anyone in this kind of role, yeah, attention to detail, you know, that's absolutely the key. You can't let things slip. So,
Kate, thank you. We're very looking forward to seeing you out on the course.
Yeah, I can't wait to see you guys at the start line and then again at the finish line. Yeah. Come give me a big sweaty hug.
Will do. So within hours, things had changed. I mean, we were all hoping. It was so, I mean, the weather, it's hard to, you got a weather and people go, oh, it's windy in Wellington or whatever. I don't think I've slept properly for a couple of nights.
I haven't.
Because I've been staying up, I've been up in the hills.
Yeah.
And the wind has been so loud, the windows have been shaking, everything's been rattling. And even people from here have been saying, oh yeah, this was a bit touch and go, you know. And if you can get someone from Wellington to say, oh, it's probably a bit heckers actually, you know that it's
because it wasn't just the wind.
No,
it was the rain was torrential, and that meant that river crossings became, you know, what would normally be little creek crossings became river crossings.
Yeah.
You know, like linking arms to get across, kind of conditions.
Yep.
So, you know, Gareth spoke to Met Service again.
The Met Service spoke to him.
And basically had to make the call to shorten the race. So this year he'd introduced a 21K course. He'd mapped it out, and so he decided, look, everyone's just going to go on the 21K course. But even that had to change on the morning itself. So there were waves that were going to be set off was the way it was going to go. And if you were down for the 63K, for instance, like we'd entered the 62. Anyway, whatever. We'd entered the
Who
ultra.
Can tell with him?
Who can tell? We entered the ultra. We were setting off at 10 o'clock, and so we did. And then there was another couple of waves, but by the time it got to the what was supposed to be the 21K start, the river had got the rivers had got up even further, and so they had to make another change and shorten those courses as well. So, look, results are a bit up in the air because of all of that. So, you know, the way things worked out, there were people running in all sorts of different races and waves, and, you know, there were people coming past us, weren't there?
Yeah, it was...
I mean, it was kind of good to be able to see people flying past. But, you know, the results, such as they are, we can say Joy Clements
yep.
had a superb run, 158.24. Joanne Elliott, 212 flats. And Amanda Rowe, 212.01. the perennial.
Absolutely.
Amanda Rowe.
Yeah. And in fourth was Kanuka Azumi.
Yeah, what a year she's had.
Yeah, she's been smashing it, 217.49.
Yeah, you know, had that win at Northburn, came up to relapse.
Yep.
You know, and is featured in plenty of other races.
Absolutely. So, it's great to see her there as well. So in the men, I mean, and it is, it's hard to kind of gauge, but 148.40, Nicholas Cox, which yep. for that course, it's an incredible time.
Yeah.
That is incredible. David Houndschmidt, 148.52, 12 seconds back, and Glenn Chesterman in 151.10.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because my daughter Lola, she was
helping at the finish line.
Helping, volunteering at the finish line. And she said it's interesting to see where the results are coming in, because when Nicholas finished, you know, it says David was 12 seconds back, but I don't think they were racing together.
No, that's right. That's what we say. That's what we mean. The results are going to change, I think. But, you know, to run those times and those conditions, respect.
Hey, look, Eugene from the future again. Look, as we were just alluding to, the results are a bit unsettled at the moment for all sorts of reasons, given the challenges. But as of Monday, David is now being credited with the win with a time of 147.27, with Nicholas second in 148.33 and Glenn third in 151.02. But look, things are still being worked out, and we'll bring you the confirmed results next week, eh? Right, back to the show.
It was, you know, David's first trip down to Wellington, I think. Introduction to the Wellington running scene for someone who's been so dominant up in the Upper North. You know, so great to see him come away with such a great time and good result. From the other waves, yeah, it's really difficult to tell because people were starting all over the place. And we did see some incredible runs. You know, Andrew Thompson, for instance.
Absolutely.
He was charging.
He was perpendicular. His torso was kind of perpendicular to the ground.
Yeah.
When he was charging up the hill. And, you know, I don't care what you say about technique, the man was getting after it.
He was going. Yeah. I said to him, I messaged him and said, hey, it was great to see you. You know, I would have yelled out to you, but A, you were flying, and B, you wouldn't have heard me yelling into the wind anyway. He said, yeah. He said, hey, he had his blinkers on. You know, he was just, and you could tell he was going for it.
Yeah.
Look, someone else who had a great run was Spike Hayvice.
By decades, the youngest competitor on the course, nine years old.
Yeah.
So 9 year old son of Fiona Hayvice, a legend.
He's been racing these exterior races in preparation for this race. He was supposed to run the 21K.
Yeah.
Didn't quite work out that way just because of the way that the conditions were. It would have been unsafe for him to go over that. Even the 21K course would have been unsafe, wouldn't it? But we caught up with Spike and Fiona afterwards.
So we're at the finish line of Wu2K with Fiona Hayvice and Spike Hayvice, who just smashed out the 21-kilometre Wu2K and is now wrapped in approximately 100 blankets and dry polybra. How was that?
It was very wet and muddy. But it was enjoyable, but there were some really steep hills.
There were some... What did you think of that climb out of Red Rocks? That was... heckers is the only word I could use to describe that.
I didn't... Did I do that?
Yeah,
I didn't
you
do
did it.
No.
I don't think we did. So we had a bit of a non-start start. So what happened was we got to the start line of the 21K this morning and... we were called up to the front, and the safety officer, I guess, and Gareth, the race director, were there waiting for us. And at that stage, the creeks, the streams were already up really high, and they had some video footage of them, and showed that to us, and basically said that they didn't feel comfortable with us starting because even the adults were having difficulty at that stage getting through the the streams, and they were rising quickly. I actually thought that the wind on the tops was going to be the biggest issue, but it turned out that the stream levels were the biggest issue. So the 21K started, and we just hung around, and we actually thought that we'd perhaps go for a run ourselves or do something. And then we got word, they'd only been gone like about 5 minutes, we got word that they weren't actually going to let the 21Kers up off the beach. They were going to turn them back towards where we were, towards the start line, because the streams had come up so high and it had become unsafe for anyone to cross. So so we decided to give it a go, to start. So we headed off from the information centre and did the majority of the 21 course. I think we ended up clocking up about 14K. So we still had a lot of fun, and we got to experience most of the course, and so many people out cheering. I couldn't believe it on such a miserable day everywhere along the way. People, here we go, biscuits. Someone's offering us some biscuits.
Do you want, there's a little hand coming out of the polypro.
What did you think of the wind? How windy was it?
It was very windy. I would say if we did go up on the top of the ridge, it would be very windy and I'd probably get blown off.
I think
how was it?
Well,
yes.
I'm probably, I don't know, 1.5 times Spike's weight.
Yeah.
Or no, maybe one of my legs is about 1.5 times Spike's weight, and I was getting blown backwards.
Whoa.
It was,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You would have been like one of those plastic bags caught in the wind.
Yeah.
Spike, you've been training really hard for this and working really hard for it, and you've been doing so well on those exterior races and stuff. So what's it like to have a race that you've aimed for and now you've done it?
It feels really good with all the people supporting me and all the stuff afterward. But I would also say that it's very cold and wet and there's a lot to get through.
We should let you go and get home and get warm. Well done, Spike, and well done, Mum, well done, Fiona.
Thank you, guys.
It's really nice
thanks
to see you guys
for sharing
again.
The experience.
Yeah, it was cool seeing you across the golf course, man. You were sending it.
It was
awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. All right.
Cool. Okay.
I just think about that wind. I think about how much Spike weighs. I think about how much I weigh at the moment. And it was battering. I was getting tossed around like a rag doll.
Yeah.
And it would have been, frankly, unsafe.
Oh, it would have been so scary.
Yeah.
I mean, even the bits of the course he did run, you know. I mean, who was I talking to? I think it was Joe in the Waitoa Social Club afterwards. He was saying that even crossing Adelaide Road, he got blown into a power pole.
Yeah.
So it was heckers.
It was heckers. And you know, to set the scene for that interview with Spike, we were, literally, he was wrapped in a blanket.
It was like a little sushi roll.
Like a little burrito. I had the front of the blanket around it, just holding it, and was rubbing his back while we were talking. His lips were blue. I mean, he was safe. Obviously, he ran it with his parents.
And we were all around him,
Sheltering
him from the wind. He was under the shelter.
Probably got about 2% body fat as well. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, did you see at one point somebody offered him a biscuit and this little hand came out the top?
Took the biscuit, yeah.
So awesome work, Spike. You know, everyone who took part in that race, no matter what distance you ended up running, how far out, you deserve your medal. Look, our own races, it was good fun, wasn't it? I kind of had a mindset shift, I don't know, a couple of K in, where I was just like, you know what, this is not a race today, it's an adventure, and I just want to have a good run with my mate, you know?
A couple of K in, it was about 13K in, so what, I mean, yeah, you're amazing, you've been training hard, you've been training hard for hills. I haven't had the most ideal build-up, and for me, certainly it wasn't the race I wanted, it was the race I needed, I think. I really enjoyed it. I struggled on those climbs, I must admit, but then the back half of the course I felt much better, which is odd, because normally it's odd for me to feel better in the second half rather than the first half.
Yeah.
But you were so strong, man. You were in control. And then, but yeah, you said you had the mindset shift.
Yeah, I did. We started out with an out and back along the beach, which was just, people were flying.
Yeah.
You know, we were clocking in some fast times along there. And then you headed back up Red Rocks up that trail. I remember coming down that last year, and you not last year, 2019, and you were absolutely flying. And it seemed to just go just like that. You know, that trail was just, in my mind, was a short little trail. It was not a short little trail.
No, it wasn't a short little trail.
It took us a long time to get up there. It was a big, big climb. You know, one of those ones where you actually have to crane your neck to look up at the people above you.
Yeah, that was mad.
You know, and so it was a tough climb. But like you're saying, I prepared for it. I was looking forward to it. I was getting into my work. I was enjoying it. And then onto that gully. I can't remember the name of the gully that connects the Red Rocks track to Tip Track. Man, that was quite something. And that's really where the wind was at its, I don't want to use the word dangerous, but, you know, it was pretty wild.
It was touch and go. It felt touch and go. Like it felt, and I, again, full support to Gareth for doing it.
Yep.
And the conditions and the terrain, you know, but it's that thing, isn't it? It felt one wrong move. It felt one wrong foot placement or one wrong, you know, and that's what the distraction was, like a very runnable course with a distraction. But yeah, fantastic. My favorite part of the Wutu K course is the back half going through the town. I really like that.
Yeah, it's cool fun. Yeah.
And it was nice to kind of be able to run that in with you and actually be able to run that in, you know, like rather than having smashed legs. So
yeah, that's right. It was a different feeling altogether, wasn't it, than being absolutely munted on that part. I did reach, I think I got, you know, once we hit Mount Victoria, I kind of was like, I just want this to be over.
Yeah.
I was kind of over it. Well, I didn't get grumpy, but I just got a bit like, I'm done. Not physically, but just mentally. I was just like, I want to get this finished. And I started to trudge a bit, didn't I?
Yeah, you did, which was odd. Which was odd.
Yeah, I don't know why. And then our friend Claire caught up with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that was a real lift in spirits. It was good to see her. Good to see so many people out there. You know, so much love for Dirt Church Radio. Thank you to everyone who said g'day.
Absolutely. And really kind of you.
Yeah, really kind. And it was, I don't know if I'm going to expect any greatest runs ever out of yesterday. Certainly most memorable run, but I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. Saywan, our friend Saywan, got to mention him.
Yeah, for me, hell. This is a very mild-mannered man. I don't know what he did, but he pulled the pin from the jump, like into the turnaround at the beach. He was up on us by a couple of minutes, and I was like, what? What you doing? Because he's normally quite reserved and, you know,
He went after it. He
got us by like 20 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, 25, I think.
25 minutes. Fantastic.
And his wife's son as well. I mean, you know, talk about Spike Hayvice having to watch out in that one. You know, son, there's not much to her either.
No.
She was gutsy and wasn't that
second,
far behind
second
us.
Second ever trail run. Second ever half marathon. So the first one being Riverhead Rampage, and now she's done Wutu-K in the maelstrom. But, I mean, I think what I was thinking also, if you were thinking about the economics of the run, bang for buck, that packs it in the most out of all three of the courses. Like if you want to go and just have a run which is going to knock your socks off, that you can either take at a pace where you're going to be out there for a good couple of hours or 3 or 4 or 5 hours and you know, that's fine. But if you want to also like pull the pin, go apeshit and just run as hard as you can and get your, you know, get your legs handed to you, that 21K course is incredible.
Oh, look, I mean, you know, I got 1,400 meters.
Vert.
Listen to me. You know, it's something. Like you say, bang for buck. You know, unbelievable. And some people, you know, Mark O'Sullivan slipped on that course because it was quite slippery. And put his arm back and ended up
breaking his arm. He was the only casualty, apparently.
Yeah, but apparently it was just like the worst part of the course for it to happen, Kate was saying. And it took quite a long time to get him down. There's a photo of him kind of, you know, trail runners, hats off every time. People stopped and looked after him. He was covered in like jackets and thermal blankets and everything. It was like he was kind of the bottom of this huddle as people protected him from the conditions. until you know, help could get there and get him off the course. But yeah, hope the recovery goes well, mate. Look, what more can we say? Amazing, amazing race. You know, glad we survived.
Yeah, glad we survived.
That's going to be memorable, isn't it? It's going to be one of the ones that you think back on.
Yeah, very much. Sure. And very much, yeah, not to make it like, oh, about me, but yeah, the race I needed, which was good.
Yeah.
Which is really good.
Yeah, yeah. Look, so on Monday I got to catch up with Gareth Thomas.
Because I was still on holiday.
Yeah.
Yeah, sticking around with my family for a couple of days.
And here is that interview. Digit Radio. From his home in the Wairarapa, he finally got back there late on Saturday night, no doubt. Gareth Thomas joins us again on the show. Thanks so much, Gareth. How are you doing?
Pretty knackered, to tell you the truth, Eugene. Yeah, we didn't actually come home on Saturday night because the hill was closed and we were staying in town anyway.
Of course. That's right.
So, yeah, we were lucky enough to book accommodation in town, and we had to pack up stuff on Sunday and come home anyway. So.
Yep.
I'm feeling pretty tired, but yeah, as you can expect, it was a pretty big weekend.
Pretty big weekend indeed. Hey, so we caught up with you at registration on Friday, and then very soon after that, things changed. I wondered if you could just talk us through, sort of almost to give you know, athletes or runners an insight into what happens and the information you're getting and how you make the decisions you had to make.
Yeah, sure. Well, basically, obviously, we had, you know, the long-range forecast was looking pretty crap. But, you know, in the past, Wu2K, it has done the same thing. There has been, like, you know, we've looked at the forecast, and most years it's like Saturday's looking pretty rubbish, and then it usually comes through a bit quicker sometimes in Wellington. You know, Wellington weather is highly changeable, so it was really hard to make a early decision whether to postpone or cancel or go that way. So we gave it the benefit of the doubt and pushed it out to, you know, race registration to make the call, as a lot of race directors would do as well.
Yeah.
So basically on the Friday, it was like looking, you know, it was looking rough, obviously. But we did have the backup B course that we would go to if it was looking pretty rough, just to avoid the more exposed parts of the course.
Mm-hmm.
And I was quite happy with that. My crew were quite happy with that. We're a bit dubious about the weather, obviously. But we were running through Rego and I got a call from Met Service and they said, look, you know, it's looking really rough in the morning. You know, it's, you know, the ridge lines, there's no chance, you know, it's going to be safe for any runners going up along those parts, no matter what the B course is or not.
Yeah.
So I had to make the call, really. I'm like, I'm not going to go against Met Service's words. Obviously it puts me in danger. It puts runners in danger, puts my crew in danger. So I had to go, right, I had to have a think about things. I'm like, right, I had an option to possibly postpone. We could have done the Sunday, but I talked to my crew and logistically it just wouldn't have worked. My main safety manager, Reese, he was going to be away Sunday. The traffic management crew weren't available Sunday. There was just a lot of logistical elements that just weren't going to roll with it.
Mm.
Otherwise, you know, if we had a full backup crew in place, it would have worked, but there's just logistically it just wouldn't have worked.
Yeah.
So the other option was to, you know, cancel. Obviously that was a possibility and I thought about that seriously because the weather was looking just really rough. But I really wanted to put a run on, and you know, it was going to rain, and you know, safety wise we had a lot of safety elements in place. We've got the first aid crew in place. Everyone was notified about things, and we had a chat with the crew and just, look, the 21k course is there. It's going to be rough, we know. The rivers could get up, we know. But potentially that time in the morning we could, you know, we push back the start slightly just to try and, you know, get through that worst part of the weather. But, yeah, obviously on the day it did sort of pound down and the rivers did rise. But and that was the call I came up with. I was like, right, you know, we've got things in place. And from a safety point of view, I thought it was going to be okay and fine for the runners to run the race. And you know, it wasn't going to be that cold. It was just the more exposed parts that I was quite concerned about. But doing the 21K course, it meant that most of those really exposed areas were done with on the course. It was only through Spooky Gully and Tip Track, as you probably know, where the windiest sort of exposed areas were. The rest is sort of through the Wellington trails towards Mount Vic. So that was the call I made. It was really hard,
mm-hmm.
And obviously logistically. Kate, my volunteers manager, she was, we had to have a chat and say, look, can we sort of adapt all the marshals? We're going to have to, it was a big day Friday, trying to, redirect everything and then alert the runners and then, just trying to make it happen on the day. It was a huge undertaking, really. So, it was big.
Kate had told us about her massive spreadsheet, the spreadsheet of awesomeness. had smoke coming off it on Friday as things were rearranged.
You should see it. It was crazy. She's got this massive, it's about the size of a fold-out Tetris table. So, she had it out and she was going through it and we were just like all sitting down as a crew. We found a little nook in the Sky Stadium just to try and sit down and nut things out. But they were so supportive as well. Yeah. They had my back and they understood the decision and they wanted to see the race and the runners go through and have a day out as well. Obviously it was going to be a memorable day out.
Yeah, well, certainly, as I got up on the top, it was Matt and I got up there on the tops and, heading towards Tip Track and so on, along Spooky Gully, we were sort of thinking, jeepers, it must have been a tough call and I think, must have weighed on your mind about cancelling the whole thing altogether because it was pretty wild. But you guys managed to, you were kind of, what I really admired too was how fluid you were and when you actually made another decision later on in the morning with the 21K start diversion. Do you want to tell us about that and how that sort of unfolded?
Yeah, well, that was, as I said, I'm lucky to have the marshals I've got because, they're quite experienced trail runners themselves and especially the ones we had down Red Rocks. And we had the first aid guys down there as well. So they made a call. AJ actually made the call to, with the river crossing just got too high and it was just like ridiculous. So he made the call for the last wave coming through just to say, no, you're going to have to go back to the start. And we were at the start line still. Which is about sort of 4.5 k's, as you know, along Red Rocks coast, south coast, and we're like, right, well, they can just come back and they can keep running around the original 62 k route, which takes them around to Faroe Bay and then up Happy Valley Road, and they can just continue on that way. It still gives them a pretty solid race. So that was the call, and I think the runners were quite respective of that. They were the ones that didn't get through, and they still got to run a good race.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, talk about a fluid situation in all senses of the word, I guess. But, I can't imagine the stress that you would have been under and all your marshals and your crew and so on. So, hats off to you guys. Phenomenal in really trying conditions.
Yeah, thank you. I know there'll be a lot of people out there saying, you shouldn't have let it go ahead. But, at the end of the day, we had one incident and that was due to just a slip and that could have happened in any conditions, really. And the person that to get injured, he was really supportive of the event, and he said, "Look, it's just one of those things. I slipped and put my arm down, and that happened."
Oh, hey, been there, done that, like those things can happen, can't they?
Unfortunately for us, it was in the sort of worst part of the course, so it was a bit of a mission getting them out there, but it all worked out, and he was fine, home and safe. So,
on that with the injury, again, the spirit of the trail, how other runners, kept him warm and helped until you guys could until your crew could get there and everything. It was just, it sort of says a lot about the spirit of trail running, doesn't it? What unfolded after that?
Yeah, that's right. All the marshals know their stuff and they know how to sort of treat a situation like that. There's obviously going to be things in the future that with every Wu2K, every run we do, we debrief afterwards and we like look at what we can do better to to make sure and ensure. There's a more fluid, more flow, and more safety aspects covered as well. Because end of the day, every race we've done for the Wu2K in the sun, even things happen, and we're like, well, we've got to change that for next year and make it safer. So we do work behind the scenes a lot to to minimise risk and make sure everyone's as safe as they can be on the trails.
Yeah, for sure. So how, like, overall, given everything that was thrown at you, are you happy with how it went?
I'm very happy with how it went. It was, obviously we had to, cancel last year due to COVID. And, this year was the weather coming through was just, crazy. So it just threw a massive curveball and, all year, everything you've been organizing for the past 6 months just sort of goes out the window and you've got to sort of, adapt things to suit. So I was happy. And the runners that ran on the day, obviously there were some that didn't run because of the conditions. Yeah. And I respect that as well. Mm. The ones that did come out and run, it sounds like they had a really, really good time and a really memorable occasion of it all. yeah, I was happy. And the crew, you know, obviously everyone was wet on the day and it was, you know, hard. And I was, you know, pretty stressed the whole day just worrying about all the volunteers and marshals on course and the runners and everyone on course. And myself, you know, I got pretty cold and wet. I was just soaked all day. So, things like that. But overall, I was happy.
Well, Gareth, I mean, you delivered us a memorable race, one that anyone who had any part that they played in that will never forget. I mean, I loved it. I reached a point where I just thought, you know what, I'm not going to treat this as a race. This is just an adventure. And I just enjoyed and soaked it up. And, you know, little moments that I remember coming down through I'm not even sure where it was. I was coming down a hill, being blown sideways and backwards at the same time somehow, and seeing a couple of your marshals in wetsuits with snorkels, cheering us on, pointing us the right direction, and it almost felt surreal. I almost thought, have I blacked out and I'm having some sort of weird dream here? It just experiences in a race that I'll never forget. So thank you for all that you did, and to you and your crew and your volunteers. I mean, you know, talk about having everything thrown at you and standing up to it. Thank you. Now, when you got home, it wasn't over either. You had a bit of flooding and stuff to deal with.
yes, honestly, we still was died down. Now it's still pretty crap out here. But yeah, we got home and my dad was lucky to look after the house for us for a few days while we were away. And I talked to him on the Sunday morning before he came back, and he said there were a couple of trees around the boundary line, and there were a couple of big pine trees that are just down, and pulled up the fence, and the we've got water races that run through our place, and they were just flooding everywhere. So it was a bit of a nightmare, but it's died down now and all is good. So yeah, just a little bit of added extra stress for the weekend.
Wow. As if you didn't have enough to deal with. All right, well, I'll be linking back to the chainsaw or whatever else you've got to do there. But thank you so, so much, and thanks for having us.
Hey, thanks, Eugene, and thanks, Matt, as well. Thanks. It's always lovely seeing you guys coming down to the events, and I'll definitely try and make that to your guys' events as well.
Brilliant. All right, cheers.
Much love. See you.
Well, that's us for the Wu2K.
Yeah.
What a weekend. Mm. Thank you to everyone again. Thank you to Gareth. Thank you to Kate. Mm. Thank you to Stuart. Thank you to Reese. Thank you to all the volunteers.
Yep.
Thank you to Eugene.
Yep.
And, we will see you.
Yeah. Thanks to Richard for having us here.
Yeah.
This is nice.
This is, I for full disclosure, I'm staying with friends, but man, this is flash.
Yeah.
This nice. Is really, really flash. But look. Thank you for tuning in. We're on social media at Dirt Church Radio. You can email us at dirtchurchradio@gmail.com. You can find us on all the podcast platforms. Like and subscribe if you fancy. And you can download direct from the website too, which is dirtchurchradio.com. If you do want to send in a greatest run ever about the Wu2K or any other run, please send it to us. We'd love to hear from you. And you can read them on the website as well.
Yeah, that Reese Johnson one from last week went off. People love that one.
Yeah.
Just send them into us, dirtchurchradio@gmail.com. Thank you to our sponsors, Scott Running, Further Faster, Spring Energy, and Cielo. And thank you to our Patreon. My beanie yesterday was very handy.
Yeah.
Thank you to our Patreon supporters and Wild Things.
Thanks to our editor, Kieran. We've got a great show lined up for you next week. So please tune in then. Ka kite.
Ka kite ano. Thanks, Rigby.